I would like to welcome all of you for your first session of what we call a Lila Katha. Lila Katha is this time the lessons from the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. See, there is a reason why I like to talk about these pastimes at the end of a day. The reason is that often we find that devotees or people in general start with their spiritual life and give their very best with the hopes for high spiritual achievements. But then they find out that after some time the desired results have not yet come. And as they feel that they are bereft of a spiritual realization, they might give up their hope. It's almost like if a student comes to an examination and he knows, I have failed so often this examination, then he loses faith in going again and at that time relaxes his effort in studies. I was like this. I was very, 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 very bad in mathematics. I mean, really bad. And for me, there was at one stage no hope and no hope any longer. And at that time, I lost all hopes for continuing my mathematics studies. In fact, I became very neglectful and unenthusiastic. And in the end, I decided, let me run away from school. This is nonsense. This doesn't work for me. And I simply, I'm a scandal here. I left school, I must admit this, when I was starting to get 16 years old. I ran away and I never returned. And I don't regret it. Yes, even so. So when a person feels that in whatever endeavor it is he does, he will not be successful, he loses hope. This is especially tragic, not so much when we leave school, although I encourage you to don't do what I did. It's especially tragic when a person has entered the path of Krishna consciousness and then feels he is not successful and he leaves it. At that time, there is the need to see good examples and to follow them. Narottamdas Thakur, one of our great teachers, prays in the Prema Bhakti Chandika, I will be attached. Yes, attached to what? To the path, that roadway, that path, that narrow little street, which has been gone by the great souls before me. There's a very ecstatic verse on this. It says, the devotees chant the holy name, and tears come out of their eyes and wash down their bodies so that their footprints are clearly visible on the path for all of us to follow. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, did not appear alone, but he came in the association of very, very special souls. Through these special souls, he gave certain lessons for us to follow. Ramananda Roy, for instance, who was once a great governor of a province in India, a huge province actually, became the teacher of Rasa in general. And Rupa Goswami was instructed and then became the teacher of
the ocean of ecstatic emotions. Imagine a book like this, the ocean of ecstatic emotions. He became a teacher on this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took one great soul, whom we will be talking about today and tomorrow, to become the Namacharya, the great teacher of the holy name. Haridas Thakur did not write personally books because there was no time. Throughout the day and night he would simply chant, and sometimes he was seen at the Ganga and alone by himself singing and dancing in ecstasy. I will soon sing and dance in ecstasy because I get a garland again. Thank you, Prabhu. You're the true friend of all living beings by giving me this garland of Gopinath. Hare Krishna. But Haridas Thakur spoke sometimes with great emotions about the glories of the holy name, and there were a few his students there who took notes of what he said, and these notes came into the possession of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who on the basis of these sayings of Haridas Thakur, you know what he said, compiled the present day guidebook on chanting the holy name, the Harinam Chintamani. So the Harinam Chintamani opens with a scene. The scene is a mystical tree, the Siddhavakul tree in Puri. It is quite close from the ocean with high waves, that the ocean is called. And after bathing in that ocean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to this tree and meets under this tree the great soul Haridas. Very happy at heart, he asks, Haridas, tell me, how can the conditioned souls who are suffering the miseries of material life easily be delivered? When Haridas Thakur heard that the Lord, who is the source of all knowledge, asked him to speak and did not speak himself, he was overwhelmed by feelings of deep humility and started to cry beautiful tears of humility. He said, "My Lord, I don't know anything. You must know that you are the only wealth which I have. What will people gain with my poor answers? They should hear from you. But because I know that you want me to speak, I request your mercy that you empower me." And then Haridas Thakur just moved forward and bowed down low and caught the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he said, "You are the spiritual sun. I am just a single tiny sunray coming from you. But I must obey your command. Please, you placed the mouth and the words in my intelligence and the mouth, and then I will happily speak."
The example is a position. When Munishvara plays a few notes now, is it the instrument who plays, or is it the musician? In the same way, when Haridas Thakur speaks Harinam Chintamani, I ask you, is it Haridas who speaks, or is it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes. So, who is this Haridas Thakur? Authoritative biographies affirm that Haridas Thakur was born at a time when the society around him was extremely caste conscious. What the people thought is that whatever is your birth, that you will have to be, that is what you remain. For instance, with this understanding, I am born in the family of a murderer. Yes, my father fought in the Second World War and killed many people, both in direct combat but also in the concentration camps. So I'm born in this family, and according to this perspective, my birth would mean that I would have no other choice than being a murderer for the rest of my life. This is what caste consciousness means. You're born a Shudra, you will always remain a Shudra. You have no choice in the matter. So when Haridas Thakur was born, he was born in a family of Muslims. And what the people thought at his time was, he is not qualified to even speak about the Vedas. He's not qualified for spiritual practices of the Vedas. He can at best sing a few times, Allah Akbar, ooh, Allah Akbar, ooh, ooh, Allah Akbar. Don't laugh. This is the way they sing. We have to respect this. But he can't chant Hare Krishna or sing these songs. All the caste conscious people, they are thinking that this person is born in a very degraded family, and he will always remain degraded. You have to understand the thinking. Nowadays we cannot really feel like this because we feel equal opportunities for everyone should be given, but the time 500 years ago was totally opposite. There was no question of equality. However, everyone was amazed to see Haridas. When he was only 5 years old, what is your age now?
11.
Half as old as, what is your good name? Vashanam.
Radhesham.
Radhesham, wow. Radhesham Prabhu. And half as old, he was singing from morning till evening the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Radhesham is also sometimes singing, but not all the time. In the night, I think you sleep mostly. Haridas Thakur was dancing when he was already 5 years old. Throughout the night, he was so much overwhelmed with Krishna consciousness. It was amazing. Then finally, when he was quite young, he left his home. I heard when he was 6 years old it happened, and he just roamed around the countryside, and all he did is he sang the holy name. He did not pursue any work. He lived from what people threw away, or sometimes he climbed date trees and picked dates. There's ample coconuts in Bengal, so he must have drunken coconut water. And finally, after spending his youth just roaming around, most probably visiting some sacred places, he came to the forest of Benapole and made himself a cottage from straw, which was just big enough to sit and to lay down. When he was laid down, now the one side of the cottage touched his head and the other side of the cottage touched his toes. And there he lived. And do you know what he did? He chanted from morning till evening the holy names. He built before him a little mandala, a little plinth, it's called Säule in Deutsch, like a little pedestal, and he put a tulasi, a plant, on it, and when he was in his cottage, you know, shaded by the roof, he would look out from the cottage and look at Tulsi and just chant. Srila Prabhupada said that when the sun rose in the morning, Haridas Thakur was accusing the sun, "You are a little stressed out. You have just risen, and now you rise again." Haridas was so much in the chanting that he did not notice that a whole day had passed and a whole night had passed, and now it was morning time and the sun was due to rise. He said, "But why you always rise? You never give me time to chant. I'm highly disappointed." And the sun, the Surya Narayan, was smiling. "Oh, these devotees, who can understand the devotees of Lord Hari?" In other words, Haridas was absorbed in chanting. My dear devotees, how can one be absorbed in chanting? Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, talked about this. Have you ever tried to chant continuously from sunrise to sunset after the next sunrise? When you are not pure in your heart, you cannot do this. Your mind will come up and will tell you to do a million of other things which you think are more important. The mind will develop a mind of its own. When you will try to force it, but the mind at one stage will say, "Boss, I had enough of this game. Now you will dance for my game. And the mind will hear different things. I remember when I started to chant extra rounds, my mind became, I was in Vrindavan, my mind became just so crazy that I heard from the village of Jatipur, where there's a constant power cut, a concert of Led Zeppelin. If you don't know what is Led Zeppelin, ask Dina Dayal. He has pens like Led Zeppelin. Yes, no, a very important culture. Dina Dayal and me, no. And I heard albums. I heard Jimi Hendrix. I saw different things because my impure mind was just rebellious against chanting. To chant always, to always do kirtan, is only possible if your mind is in such a pure state of consciousness, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained. You please sing with me this song. Mm-hmm.
nadapi sunichema tado diva sahishnuna
chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. Come down, mister. Think yourself lower than the straw in the street, but should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be able to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. These were the qualities which Haridas Thakur was imbibing, and he was tested severely whether or not he was able to maintain these qualities. Because this will be the katha of today, there was a challenge coming in his direction, which was so powerful that I think only Haridas Thakur could face and make this challenge. He could not imagine when he started will come his way. People will disappoint him. Sometimes his dreams will be shattered. He will be attacked even by those who are close to him. Let us listen this evening the beautiful pastimes where we can learn from Haridas Thakur himself how he answered the challenges which were put in his way. He lived in his straw hut and chanted day in day out. Sometimes when he felt tired, he would lie down for a brief moment in time before his door was the sacred Tulasi plant, and all his many rounds he chanted before this. My dear devotees, you are from a different century. You will ask yourself the question, did he sometimes eat? And if he did not work, how did he get his food? Krishna himself, who was so pleased by the loving service of his dear devotee, sent Haridas Thakur all the food he needed. Krishna inspired people in the heart to come by and give him chapatis, rice, dal, and some simple food which Haridas Thakur gratefully acknowledged. Only a few times he interrupted his chanting
spoke to the people.
My dear people, he would say, everything is in the holy name.
When you take care of chanting the holy name, Krishna will take care of you.
See, Krishna has sent you to take care of this lowly fool, Haridas.
Now, the people respected him because they could see he was on the highest level of spiritual perfection. However, in the village, Binapur, lived the ruler of the village, Ramachandra Khan. As he watched a stream of people passing by his house and going into the forest to take care of Haridas, he became more and more envious. Day by day, he thought, don't these people understand? He is a lord also. He is degraded, and I, the good conscience of the world, will show all the people that he is a pretender, a cheater. And after thinking for many days about how to bring about the defamation of Haridas Thakur, Ramchandra Khan, the versest of the envious snakes, had a devious evil plan. He went to the prostitutes and he looked for the most young prostitute who was also the most charming. Her name was Lakshmila. And he said, Lakshmila, I am the lord of this area. Follow my command. Go to Haridas in the midst of the night. My people will follow you. Use everything you have learned in your profession to attract the mind of Haridas and then have union with him. Sexual union. At the time when you are successful, my people will jump out from behind the bushes. They will catch both of you, and the next morning it will be all over the internet. Oh, sorry, I expressed it in one place. It will be spread in such a way that no one will continue to come to Haridas Thakur. I request you. Lakshmila looked at him. She didn't like the idea. But then she said, how much money do you give me? It's a special job. Ramachandra knew I have her on my side. He said, as much gold as you want. Okay, said Lakshmila, I have one condition. Let me go once alone and let me be with him alone. Then I will come back the second night and then you can bring your man. But one time I want to have him all for myself. This pastime is very, very instructive because for all of us there will be challenges. Maya
the illusory energy will not let us go so easily. She will send situations, people, and problems in our own mind which are very, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, I mean, it is very difficult to get rid of material desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Those Maharajis can say, men and wealth are problems. Many stalwarts, it means people who were very established in the devotional line, fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Supreme Lord personally, the whole process becomes easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. So in the evening, one day, Lakshahira approached. Haridas heard already someone coming because she had ankle bells, the bells which dancers use. Because you are all living in a spiritual life, I will spare you the description of Lakshahira. There are books praising her. She was young, she was extremely beautiful, she was very well dressed, she used attractive perfumes. But deep inside her heart, she was a good person. When she came, she looked at Haridas, her victim, and something in her told her, it's not right, it's not right. But then, wealth is a big problem. So when you are on the spiritual path, so she thought, I get so much money, I can stop my work with this one thing. So she went before Haridas and she said, you look so handsome. Who in the world, upon seeing you, would not be tortured with desires? Haridas, I'm such a tortured soul. I'm burning inside like a tree who has a fire in its root, and only your mercy can extinguish this fire. Therefore, I, a fallen soul of this world, request you to have union with me. Haridas laughed at her. And his intelligence was razor sharp. He looked just right through her and could understand she would not be here on her own. Someone is out to get me. And as he looked, it was just a brief moment of time, he could understand, this is a good person. I want to save this person from material life. Deep compassion came in his heart, and he said something which I don't recommend any one of you to say in my heretics. He said, you are also a very wonderful person, and
It sounds like a good idea.
Really? Said Lakshya.
But there is a small problem, not a problem which cannot be overcome, but it is there. It's not insurmountable. I've taken a vow. Let me first finish my rounds, just stay here, and when I'm finished, then, juhu!
No, he didn't say this.
He said, then anything is possible. So Lakshmihira said, the hours went by, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Haridas Thakur was in another word, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he said. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and then Lakshmihira just fell asleep. She passed out. In the morning she woke up. She looked at Haridas doubtful. Are you still chanting your rounds? You said you would finish, and then Haridas Thakur, I have finished very nicely. But then I looked at you and you were sleeping, and I didn't want to be impolite. So I started my vow for the next day. Oh, said Lakshya, wouldn't you do this every day? Yes, every day I have to complete a certain number of rounds, but today I will be turbo fast. You come back in the evening. Okay, said Lakshya, then let me go and sleep properly and I come back in the evening. My dear devotees, some of you know this story. This went on for 3 days. Lakshmihira would come in the evening. She would listen to Haridas Thakur chanting. But after 3 days, something had happened to her. Imagine, you would listen to Haridas Thakur for 3 days chanting. What do you think would happen to you? Do you think you would be the same person? Jai Krishna?
I
don't
think so.
You would be changed in some ways. And I would like to pay a little attention to this. See, my dear devotees, just next to you, by a very, very thin veil, is an entirely different consciousness. It's totally, it's there. It is available for us. It is an ecstatic consciousness. It's a consciousness full of love. It's just separated. Just by a little time. Prabhupada was asked about this possibility of Krishna consciousness. He was asked, how long does it take to enter Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, it can happen in 1 second. That means, it's just there, waiting for you. The consciousness of an enlightened soul. If there is the required stimuli, do you know what is a stimuli? Stimuli means something which awakes something. Then this consciousness can arise. I when I'm out in the world, not in a devotional world, I would now like would do an exercise which I don't do. I would go to one of my listeners and I would make him angry. I would go and then this listener, I once did it, I don't do it again because it's just jumped up. Who do you think you are? I said, a lecturer. I wanted to show how within a second you can become angry and curse me. And I didn't. This anger is just a little veil away from you. Provided the right stimuli comes, that anger is all of a sudden there. I think all of you have seen this in your life. Different states of consciousness who were just coming like, bang! Like, for instance, big fear. I remember I was going once in Vrindavan alone through the field, and all of a sudden, 12 barking dogs who fletched their teeth were surrounding me. So afraid, so fearful. In one moment, I entered that consciousness. So, in Lakshadvira's example, she had association with a great saint. And as you will see a little later, she changed after 3 days and became a most amazing personality, which you will not believe what I will tell you in a little while. But I would just like to pause here a little bit and describe to you the possibilities of having a divine spiritual experience. What will happen at that time with you? What will happen is you will transcend the relationship which you have as a subject to an object. You know, in other words, you will see other people in a totally different way. You will feel deep positive emotions and start to see things in an entirely different life. Like, you will think, what did I do all these years? This was not Krishna consciousness, what I did. It was, I don't know even how to describe it. If you have the right stimuli, and you will go through that little border which separates material from spiritual consciousness, amazing things will happen to you. And this was what happened to Lakshadvira. Haridas saw on the third day she's not the same any longer. She's totally purified. Lakshadvira rushed forward. She offered her obeisances to Haridas. And with a voice full, it was the voice of a penitent, that someone who regrets what he or she has done. She said, I was so misguided. Please forgive me. And then she wanted to explain what she wanted to do, to seduce Haridas and then bring out the men. But Haridas said, no need. I have to explain this. I have seen this. I saw your good heart only. I knew someone was out to get me. Yeah, I knew it was Ramachandra Khan, but I harbor no bad feelings towards him and his people. But I wanted to be an instrument in their sinful hand. Don't worry, said Haridas. We are all instruments in the hands of the Lord. I forgive you. What can I do now? I don't want to go back to my life. I don't want to go back even to my house. Very good, said Haridas. Very good. No one should go back to his Mayic life. No one should go back to his Mayic house. But I order you, you go back one more time. Take all the wealth which has come to you. through your questionable profession. Take it and distribute it to the Brahmanas, the pure-hearted Vaishnavas. And in this way, your wealth will not be a stumbling block for you. And then come back. Lakshmira did. But she came back as a different person than she had come. She had given up all her material wealth, and she said, accept me as your disciple, please. Then only I know that you have forgiven me. And Lakshmira was accepted. My dear devotees, she became a great devotee herself. Haridas Thakur gave her his own little hut, and she stayed there chanting from morning till evening. And just like people had come to visit Haridas Thakur with gifts in their hands, the people now came to give Lakshmira rice, chapatis to eat, and all she needed. Because, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are worshipping Him in devotional service, He carries what they need, and He maintains what they have. And this way, Krishna happily takes the role of supplying His devotees. The ashram of Haridas Thakur, or you could say the ashram of the prostitute who turned into a saint, is still there. And if you want, you can visit this ashram and pray to the transformed person who's a miracle of the holy name. You can pray to also have a total change in heart. It's in Bangladesh, and these were the good news. But I will tell you now the bad news. Because the news are so bad, they're very brief, that some of you will faint. Some of you leave already the hall knowing that this will be very let us sing a little bit the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to prepare ourselves for what is to come. Visit that little hut with the strong roof. See Haridas Thakur inside the hut. His eyes are full of tears. He's very moved by divine ecstatic emotions. He chants the holy name. Sit down at the spot that the saintly lady sat, and she was not saintly, and chant in this inner atmosphere. Hare Yeah.
Thank you.
Because this is a good melody, good for good ragas. Krishna Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about Ramachandra Khan. He said when Ramachandra was thinking ill about Haridas Thakur, the seed of offense was planted in his heart. And as he continued to think and then act bad towards Haridas, that seed of offense grew in his heart, and eventually he had to eat the bitter fruits of that tree. This happens when we are offensive towards a great Vaishnava. Although Ramachandra Khan was very elegant, he was aristocratic, he came from a good family, he became degraded. And the way he fell down is very instructive. At that time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was traveling with a group of his followers through Bengal, engaging in Harinam Sankirtan. And he came to the village of Benapur, and asked, where is a place where we can have a Krishna conscious program? And the people said, well, the best place is the place of Ramachandra Khan. He has a big property, and one part is private and the other is public, and everything is like a marketplace. Everything which happens here happens there. So Lord Nityananda went. There was a little place, little like you find in Bengal, a Durga Mandap it's called, and he sat next to it. And his followers gathered around. They were just about to start the kirtan program when a servant who had been sent by Ramachandra came and said, I have a message from the owner of this place. Ramachandra Khan informs, oh, there are so many of you. My property is not large enough to host you all. Please go with this servant of mine. He will take you to a farmer who has a large place for his animals. This is a good place for you. And Lord Nityananda heard this. He rose. He's Balaram. He can get quite fiery. And he only said one sentence. Tell your so-called master, your place is only fit for cow-killing meat-eaters. And with these words, he left the village to have the program somewhere else. Ramachandra said, no, my problem. He had a servant come to the place where the Lord sat, and he had to dig up the place and put the earth somewhere to be thrown away somewhere. Lord had said, that's a sacred earth. But he had a servant, you know, like as if someone had placed dung there. His dung. And he just had it removed. Shortly afterwards, the minister who was in charge of this district came to Ramachandra. He was a Muslim. And he gave him a slap in the face. In cat's verse, that's called what's happened? You know, someone just, without announcement, gives you a what's happened. And he said, I put you here to gather the tax and pay to the government. But you have cheated all these years on me. You collected the tax from the people, but you kept part of the tax money for yourself. I disown you now. Look here, my soldiers. And he gave him another what's happened. And then killed a cow at the place where there was a Durga Mandap and cooked it. Then he sent all his people who had lances in the village to loot and plunder each single house, and the village became deserted afterwards. Kishadas Kaviraj Goswami says something very serious. He says, wherever an exalted devotee is insulted, for one man's fault, the entire place is afflicted. I think this happened in Germany. Prabhupada was severely offended also by the state's attorney who wanted to who attacked our movement, and also Srila Prabhupada. The results will come. See, you might ask yourself, why did the poor village have to suffer for one man's fault? I will tell you, in today's modern law, when a crime is committed next to you, and you are a witness to this, and you do not act against it, you become what is called, an, I don't know if it's the right English word, but an accomplice. Is it? What?
Accomplice.
How do we say this in France? I think it's...
Accomplice.
Accomplice, yes. You become accomplice. I think it is coming from the French language, this difficult word. Accomplice. You become accomplice. And you are also to be punished. This brings a very serious point to us. When we see that something wrong is done, we should not stay at the place and witness the wrong thing. We should take a stand. It may not be possible for us because we are not always in the position to do so, to act against this or to even speak out of it against this, but we should not tolerate being part of it, not even as a witness to this. There is a part of the Bhagavata which is very nice, which makes this point. As you all know, the demon Kamsa had invited Krishna under the pretext of letting him wrestle in the wrestling arena. The understanding was that there were noobs, that Krishna and Balaram and his coward boyfriend liked to wrestle. So the king ordered them to show their wrestling skills. But when they entered, Krishna and Balaram entered the arena, there was a total different game. Everyone thought they would wrestle children against children, but Krishna and Balaram were pitched up against two professional wrestlers who were murderers. If you have seen the boxing match between Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston, which took place almost 50 years ago, you have seen that in one in the first round, just Muhammad Ali knocked out Sonny Liston. It was the fastest world master boxing match which happened ever in the history of mankind. It's not very important in spiritual gathering, but I just wanted to give an example. So this was how powerful Muhammad Ali was. He could just go like bang, and the most powerful man of the world, Sonny Liston, was on the floor, fainted, and he needed a few hours to come back. So the Chanura Mustikas were like that, you know, they were really powerful, and it was clear when they were wrestling, Kamsa made this gesture, is beat them at the soft places of their body to kill them. So when the women of Mathura saw that here was a match which was not a fair match, that opponents were chosen in an unfair way, and it seemed that the restless were out to kill Krishna Balaram, they rose, all of them, the rest of the assembly was just there looking at the what was happening on the wrestling court. But the women said, in this assembly, religious principles have certainly been violated. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing. A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing acts of impropriety. And if, having entered such an assembly, he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. So, when you are part of something which is unjust, even as a visitor, you will catch the karma of this. An example which comes to mind, because I will soon go to Spain, there are these bullfights. You might have heard about this, you know, with one Toledo. Is it Torero or
Toledo
is one of them, and then there's a Torero also.
Just next to the farm in Spain, the small village is the most violent in Spain.
Yeah. We have next to our farm, we have such a violent place. And if a devotee would sit there and see how a poor bull, who after all only wants to eat and sleep and have a family, you know, is murdered brutally while everyone goes like, ah! To give him, you know, and wants to see the blood. There is not a place for a devotee to be. I have given an extreme example, but there are softer examples. It's not good. And therefore, this whole village, who was part of Ramachandra's big offense against Haridas Thakur, had to suffer the reactions. Only after some time, people returned to their homes, and then they had this lesson. So this is the Leela of Haridas Thakur, but I want you to please remember the power of Haridas Thakur to transform this lady into a saintly lady. And with this, I request you all to sit towards the altar, and we will continue to sing for something like 15 minutes or so.
Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Krishna has said that some good water, good weather, which is really an exceptional gift here in Radhadesha. Last year there were snowstorms, not if they were rainstorms, but yes, so I request all of you to go to, before you go to sleep, please just quickly go through the day, maybe look at your notes, and just go with a Krishna conscious intention into the realms of dreams, so that tomorrow you wake up and jump out of bed. Second, Kirtan course day, the key day, and are ready to move on and further into the experience of the divine names. The program is the same. There is an early morning aarti and time to chant, and you will be expected to come here latest by 7:15 for the deity greeting. See you all very well. Have a restful night and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.